We're now in the third tape of this album. This part of this 12 hours of ministry is going to bring you maybe a great surprise, because it is what I saw in heaven. I never read Revelation very much before I went to heaven, but after I went to heaven, I began to read it. And here John saw the pure river. And here's what he said on Patmos. And he showed me a pure river of life of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of it, the river, there was the tree of life. Now, I saw many trees. We should check the translation of that to the Greek to see if there was trees instead of tree, which bear 12 manners of fruit and yield her fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. His name shall be in their forehead. You can't see his face in heaven now. Then there shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be. And here it goes, behold, I come quickly. Blessed he that keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw the things and heard them. But I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal the sayings of the prophecy of this book until the time is at hand. Is that time at hand? This is the time, friends. The time is definitely at hand. When I talked to in heaven to Abraham, I asked him this question, Abraham, how long have you been here in heaven? And he said, oh, a day. Let me see, a day or so. And all at once he spoke up. He said, you know, a day is as 1,000 years without God. In other words, 1,000 years upon this earth would be one day in heaven. So then you think of 1,000 miles. It could be 10,000 miles in heaven, because everything is bigger in heaven, more gigantic, more spectacular than anything upon this earth. The human thinks in terms of earthly. As we walk this earthly walk, this earth walk, we're walking with a mind to think of the terms of miles or feet or yards or whatever measurements we believe in here. So our thinking upon this earth is earthly thinking. What we do, we think distance between San Francisco, New York, and all. That's earthly minds and earthly thinking. But when you get to heaven, you have to completely change your thinking. Your mind changes, and you begin to change your soul mind to the gigantic thinking of heaven. You can't think in the little terms as this thought here. But you have to think in heavenly thinking, with gigantic thinking of God. And that's what happened to me during the 5.5 days in heaven. As we stood up on the side of the great mountain, the throne of God, looking down upon the river of life, you could see that beautiful river shining just like it would be the sun, when it was the eyes of Jesus that was looking down upon that river, caused that river to shine. Because the eyes of Jesus are like flaming fire. They're not just like the eyes he walked the shores of Galilee and the Jericho Road. His eyes are so gigantic and so powerful, just so powerful, that when he looked down in the river, he lit up the whole river. His eyes, when he began to look down upon the floodgates. He was having a spectacular demonstration for me, as you would get to take a great big floodlight, powerful, just as powerful. You ever seen a floodlight light up the sky? Nothing to compare what Jesus can do. Stood there and he cast his eyes on the floodgates, and there they came before us as bright floodgates. Then he put his eyes towards the altar, and we could see the altar of God and where this wonderful river was flowing out from. Great, wonderful river. Very, very wide, very, very deep, and very, very long. This is the Spirit of God. God's Spirit is so powerful. Coming out from under the throne of God, this is God's Spirit being moved forward. My Bible tells me very clear that God is a Spirit, a Spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So then we worship Him in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We have faith in the flesh, but to worship in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because if we walk in the flesh, we can't begin to understand or comprehend the great power and the great Spirit of God. You cannot with this earthly mind. So then you have to expand your mind to the heavenly and think in the heavenly. No wonder Jesus said, lay up your treasures in heaven where neither rust nor moth can corrupt. Same thing, which way you put it. Because the simple reason is a treasure in heaven is going to last forever. But a treasure upon this earth is just earthly. So here we are standing up in heaven, looking down on the river of life. Jesus said to me, Percy, I'm going to explain this whole river to you and the whole reality of God's great power, the secret now coming out. He said to me, he said, this river is God's power and so great, coming up under the throne, and there it's building up with great pressure and great power. For the power of God can move a mountain. The power of God, Jesus said, if you had faith the grain of mustard seed of God's faith and God's power, you could move the whole mountain. No wonder then that there is great power in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is so powerful, can move mountains, can move the whole universe. The Spirit of God can move all heaven and all earth. The Spirit of God can move. The Spirit of God and the power of God in heaven can create the most glorious universe and things that we see upon this earth with the naked eye. That is God I'm talking about, the all-great, almighty God. So, and then the almighty God only has the answer as to when Jesus is going to leave the heavenlies and come to the earthlies. It's going to happen. Because when Jesus went, he went and they said he would come back in like manner as he left. So he is coming back. Now back inside of heaven, here is this glorious river. So then we come down, floating down. Could you imagine a floating experience to just jump off of that cliff? If you do such a thing in the body like this and go down thousands of miles, you would be hamburger when you hit the bottom. There's absolutely no power upon this earth like there is in heaven. So we don't fly like birds. We just walk upon this earth when this earthly walk. But here we were in the heavenlies. And all of the vultures and all of the birds and all of the living creatures upon this earth are tuned to some way or another to the breath and the Spirit of God. That's the way it all operates. All operates under the gigantic, glorious power of God the Father, who controls all things, the beginning and the end. So here we are, and then we walked off of this cliff, or this precipice, or this part of this great high mountain. We just walked off of it. Now, try to get the feeling, if you can, with the absolute faith that there's nothing going to happen to you when you step off. Nothing going to happen to you at all. That's conquering death. Because when you would... So here's what happened in heaven. We stepped off of this great, big, what you might call a shelf of the side of the mountain, which was a different heaven level than the great, wonderful river was. We find ourselves, we came down from up the top, landing alongside of the river, in the beautiful river. Here we all were, landing there. Jesus said, very soon. Now the word soon has been, I've listened to that many, many years. The first time when I was saved was when I saw this sign upon the front of the platform. Jesus is coming soon. Now, these men and women of God on before us, they must have had a premonition of what was going to happen. Billy Sunday said, Jesus is coming soon. And also did my first pastor said, Jesus is coming soon. And I heard that back in the 20s very much, that they'd walk around saying, Jesus is coming soon. So then people would begin to think, well, when's he coming? When's the promise of his coming? He's coming soon. So Abraham said, it's very soon. It's winding up. All the buildings are almost finished. He said, look, they're putting the finishing touches to the buildings up here. All the preparation of God is being made for the church to come in, for his saints to come into heaven. Be ready, friends, because it's very close. So then, as we come down upon the river, God is going to open those floodgates. When he opens those floodgates, God is the one who's going to do that. Nobody else but God is going to open those floodgates. And when they're opened up, they're going to come flooding down upon to this earth. Now, this earth will be ready for the resurrection. It'll be ready for it. Now, I've been asked this question. Are they going to take the city four square and set it down in the new world? Well, we'll come to that, answer that question later in this broadcast. Now, praise God, here is God controlling the very gates that we opened up to cause the resurrection. This is what is going to cause the resurrection. These bodies that are dead in the grave will start to take on spirit. God showed me a corpse, as it were. Jesus did. A corpse, as it were, laying in the dirt. And as I saw this, Jesus said, this is going to happen on this fashion. Can you imagine actually seeing inside of the grave of those that are laying there? But Jesus took me inside of the grave of the ones that were laying there, right inside the grave, to have this miraculous privilege, this look to see how the resurrection is going to take place, exactly how it's going to take place. This is a secret I'm telling you, how it's going to take place. Now, these bodies, some have been buried upon this earth for thousands of years, just maybe a little bones left, that's all. But they're laying there, the bodies. Maybe they've been dumped into the sea. Maybe they've been burnt of all kinds that have been happening. But here is these bodies that were upon this earth with a soul. But the soul left the body. The spirit and the soul left the body. So when the soul and the spirit left the body, went into heaven to dwell into heaven until the great resurrection. The Spirit of God is coming out of heaven, and the minute that body, which is decayed, which is gone, which is so forth, will begin to take on form. Will begin to take on eyes, begin to take on bones. Before this is before the resurrection. Begin to take. They'll be already. That's the way it'll be. And they'll be there, and the earth will begin to crack. The earth will begin to burst. That'll begin to crack. You'll see cracks in the ground. Like just exactly like a chicken coming out of an eggshell. Now you take a chicken, there, a little baby chick, and after that's warmed a certain time, 30 days or whatever, that begins to take on wings, begins to take on the different forms of the chicken. Now that in itself is a great resurrection. You study that chicken, how it happens. There it is in a shell, solid shell, and sometimes pretty hard shell, and then they begin to feel a peck on the out inside of the shell, and that little chick bores a hole through there and starts the crack to take place, and that egg shell breaks up, and that egg shell forms, and just exactly like the resurrection, it bursts and lets loose its living cell in there, in the same way in the resurrection. Now, when the Spirit of God down upon this earth and saturates this whole earth, these bodies in there is going to feel that Spirit of God. They're going to feel that, and their face, their forehead, is going to take on fire. Their arms are going to take on fire. Their souls and their body is going to take on fire. Their feet is going to take on fire. The fire of God is going to get hold. It's going to take on such fire that they'll become real strong in the grave. This will be just before the resurrection actually takes place. In other words, they'll be picking on the outside of their casket to get out. In other words, can you imagine something becoming alive in the ground? Alive in the ground. Just like now you plant a bulb on this earth. You just plant it. You plant a seed. That seed bursts open and comes up out of the earth. That's exactly like the resurrection is going to take place. The life is going to be so powerful in that body even before the resurrection. That's going to cause that little cell of wheat or whatever you ate upon this earth, to burst open and to come out from that grave, to come bursting out, right out. Now, that's a spectacular reality. Explained is what is explained to me in heaven. So when the Spirit of God is poured out of heaven, poured out from the river of life, poured out, come falling down 2 trillion miles to this earth, not to the other planets, but directly to the earth where his people lie. In the graves where the one dead in Christ are lying, in there, all of those are in there. It's a spectacular happening. And as that Spirit comes down into the graveyards, into the cemetery, into these different places, it's going to cause life to take place, life. And they're going to be pushing on their caskets and hammering to get out, trying to get it. But all at once, they're trying to get out. Now, they've been made live. They've been made living through the power of the Word of God. They've been made live by the correction, by the duty of Jesus, who listened to his Father and listened to him and the instructions what to do. Now, they've been made live. They've been made live inside the casket, inside this earth, inside the bowels of the earth. They become alive, just like a little chick in the cell. And there they become alive. Now, this is the true resurrection, like the true resurrection is going to take place. This is the way Jesus explained to me. Then when this happened, and the power is going to be so great inside, the power of God, going to start to crack the earth. Going to start to crack, no matter if they're in concrete or whatever. Going to start to crack whatever they're in. The earth will have to give to the mighty hand of the power of God. Because God is going to say, this is the time of the resurrection. This is the time when I'm going to cause a great resurrection. Well, this Spirit of God, or the river of life, is going to flood down all over the earth. It'll go down the streets like flooding water. Now, it will be Spirit, but not water. It'll be like flooding water. And here this will start, people will be out in the street, and the Spirit of God will flood this whole earth over. It'll be so powerful that it'll flood every part of the earth. Every part, where Christians may be laying in the most remote places, they may be laid, but they'll not escape the power of God that's flooding this earth to touch them, to tell them, come on out, it's resurrection time. It's resurrection time. And then praise God as this great power comes down from above, these graves will automatically burst wide open. Burst wide open. When they burst wide open, they will come out and start, and what will happen? In the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise, for they come out, and then they'll start, which you'll start, on the way to heaven, a 6-hour journey, 3 hours to the great supper of the Lamb, 3 hours more on in to the resurrection. Many of these patients laying in the hospitals get this message, and they become so full of faith that they don't give the doctors any more hard time for pills, for tranquilizers, and all these things, because they've been endowed or literally saturated and cut with the power of the living God, the life after death. So then as this resurrection takes place, you that are here, you that are still alive, you that may have that sickness, you that may have that cancer, you that may be laying in that sick bed, you, every one of you, will be able to take part in this great resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that remain shall be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. This is what I was told in heaven, exactly was told. Then you go up and be with God. But when you get up there in heaven, get inside, it's going to be a time spectacular. The multitude is going to be so great a multitude, you'll not be able to count them. The multitude will be so great, it'll be a countless multitude, countless, coming out from every nation under heaven. You Japanese will come out, you French will come out, you Russians will come out, and all of the different nationalities will come out from the earth and start on their way to heaven. Now, once they're inside of heaven, once we are inside of heaven, once the church is inside of heaven, going to start a great spectacular happening. God is going to have the welcoming party already. We'll not go in the judgment, but we'll go through the judgment. And going through the judgment is a different thing than going in and becoming a part of that judgment. What is going to happen to the judgment is Jesus going to stand there. As he stands there for in our behalf, he's going to explain to me, and Jesus showed me exactly how he would do it. He took me from the river and walked with me over to the throne of God. 5.5 days in heaven learning how that God would perform the great resurrection. Then he began to tell me how the great resurrection would take place. Exactly. God will turn on the switch. God will turn on the power. What I mean by that, His hand will set forth. It's time for them to come out of the grave. Then he'll instruct the trumpet player. He'll instruct Gabriel. He'll instruct him and say, now, you blow the trumpet. Now, can you imagine a trumpet 2 trillion miles away, and they can hear it in that grave? That's God. Only God could figure that one out. You talk about television. You talk about radio connection. He's got everything so supreme and so much better than we have. There's no comparison. No broken joints. Nothing comes unscrewed. Nothing comes bad because it's all joined up to the glory and the power of God. Now, God is going to turn the power on in heaven. It's time, and then everyone's going to realize the resurrection. Nobody's going to know anything till that time. Nobody's going to know. Jesus said, "Well, not know when my Father's going to turn on the power to bring us out." And he said, turn on the power. Everybody will be in heaven there waiting for their bodies. And then God said, it's time. God said, now is the time. Now is the time when my Spirit's going to go down right into those graves and bring out the cancer patient, bring all those out that was troubled so much upon this earth. Let them come out and stand before the throne of God. It's so going to be so spectacular. So when it happens, this power of God is going to go right into the graves, right into there. Now, it'd be kind of like electric shock. I remember one time lightning hitting the ground, and it went all around me, and it was powerful. But that supreme power of God is going to be so much more powerful, there'll be no comparison, because that power will reach right down into every crevice, every opening of teeth, everything. Everybody will know and figure out it is the glorious power of God that's coming down upon this earth to bring the people out of the grave. This is what's going to happen. And it'll shake the whole earth. There's going to be a great shaking. When it happens, the earth will shake. Now, the earth goes around, the sun goes around in an axis. Boy, that really must be traveling as fast as that earth goes. It really must be traveling. That's really traveling when you think about it, how fast that earth travels. And it's in a circular system where it's whirling around at a tremendous speed. That speed is worth figuring out sometime to see how fast this earth travels. We're traveling faster on this day around this earth than ever before because it's winding up. Praise God. Time is winding up. So then as this power of God goes into the graves, into there, they'll hear the trumpet sound. As God was explaining it to me in heaven, inside of heaven, as through Jesus, how it was all happening. Such a spectacular sight. God said it's time to bring them home. When we think of thousands upon thousands that haven't heard the gospel yet, that's all that's holding back the coming of the Lord, is because this gospel has not been published unto every nation under heaven yet. It hasn't happened. That's got to happen before the end comes. Exactly. That's why we're going to put these tapes into every language. I'm anxious to see the resurrection. I'm anxious to see it, very anxious. What's holding the resurrection back is because it has not been published into every nation, kindred, and tongue under heaven. That's what it is. They went home Saturday and went home and was not. It hasn't been published. It hasn't been done. The gospel hasn't been preached in so many nations, so many places. That's why I'm very anxious to get this album into every language under heaven, to get the word of God to the four corners of the earth. It's the way it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. And then when this message goes to the four corners of the earth, the Japanese, the French, the Jew, and all of them hear this, then it's harvest time, and they're coming home. They're going to hear it. The man's going to sit in the jungles and hear it. I'm in heaven telling you what's going to happen, telling exactly what's going to happen. God will turn on the power. God will open the floodgates. Then it will come down. Then, as this great resurrection takes place, so wonderful from the whole earth, the dead in Christ, every dead person that's accepted Christ, is going to come out of those graves. Everyone coming out of those graves to be ready to go to heaven. It's going to be a sorry time afterwards, I'll tell you. I'm not going to stay around here to do any tribulating. You that want to stay out and tribulate, you go ahead and tribulate. Because I'm going to be gone to heaven's gates. I'm going to be gone to glory. And it'll be too late then. They'll cry. And they'll call upon their pastors and say, "Pastor, please, please help me." But too late. He'll be gone with his congregation. And gone. You better start serving God with all your heart, with all your soul. So then as this great gate opens up and the great floodgate comes down, the flood coming down upon this earth, in a twinkling of an eye, it's going to take place. Are you ready to get in that dead in Christ? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to get into it? Are you ready? Because the only way you can have eternal life, the only way you can spend time in heaven, is to accept Jesus as your Savior. To accept Him as your Savior, to let Him come into your life and speak to you and completely change your life. That's exactly what is happening now. Millions are going to hear the voice of the Lord through these albums. Millions are going to hear the voice of God, and many is going to turn to God around the whole world because they know something's going to happen. Now I'm going to pray. Father, out there in the hearing of my voice, as these people are laying in the hospital, in the sick hospitals, speak to them, Lord, about heaven. Speak to everyone about heaven. Where are they going to spend eternity? Speak to them, O God, about heaven, that they might be saved and be ready for heaven. I'm going to ask you to get on your knees. You that are in the hospital beds there, laying there in hospital beds, I'm going to ask you now just to take your hand, turn maybe the little to the right, lay your hand. Maybe they got a Gideon Bible alongside of you. Ask the nurse to give it to you. Lay your hand on that Bible. All hospitals are supposed to have them in every place. Lay your hand on the top of that Gideon Bible and accept Jesus as your Savior. Pray this prayer. From Jesus, I'm in this bed sick, and you know I am. I'm sick, and I can't get out. I'm under doctor's care. And oh, God, I'm so lonely, and I need God so much. Please speak to me, Father. Come into my heart on this sick bed, oh, God. Please speak to me that I might be saved. Now repeat this prayer. Heavenly Father, please save me. Touch my heart. Oh, God, speak to my soul in this hospital bed. Oh, God, speak to me that I might be saved. Oh, blessed God, Father, help me. Father, teach me. Father, show me in Jesus' name. Speak to me. You Jew laying there, same thing. You Russian laying there, same thing. You Frenchman laying there, same thing. You Arab laying there, the same thing. You Spanish, the same thing. It's for all. For God so loved the world, and that's you. You're a part of the world. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Jesus so that you could have eternal life. Doctor may have told you, you can only live so much longer, maybe a year, maybe 2 days, maybe a month, but you're designated for death. Boy, that's an awful thing to be designated for death. But you don't have to accept that death. You're not designated for death. You're not absolutely channeled out for death because you can escape death. It may feel like you're going to die, but you're not going to die. That body, it may take that body, but you're not going to die. Say, Jesus, I don't want to die. I want to live. I want to live forever, and you can live forever. Come into the soul and the heart of this patient, Lord. Lay in the hospital. Oh, God, speak to them that I want to live, Jesus. Say, I want to live. I don't want to die. And death will have no sting. The grave will have no control over you. And you'll live forever and ever. And when you do, you wake up in the joy. Your soul will wake up in heaven. Your soul will wake up with Jesus. Your soul will wake up with the angels dance before the throne of God. Your soul, your body may lay there in the grave, but your soul will wake up before God. You'll realize that there is eternal life, this joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Suppose if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should be no more room, enough to receive it. That's tremendous. That is what God blesses for just paying your tithes. Now, when we were being explained at the River of Life how this great resurrection was going to take place, how it was going to happen, Jesus took me across the river to the other side, to the side which he called eternity. He said, Percy, I'm going to show you eternity. A lot of people have seen signs along the road, where will you spend eternity? A lot of people who say where you spend eternity do not have the least idea where eternity is. Don't know there is such a place as eternity. They think, well, heaven's something, but they speak of eternity, and the sign says, where will you spend of eternity? but they do not know where eternity is. And Jesus showed me eternity. Can you imagine that Jesus said to me, Percy, I'm going to show you eternity. And to be shown eternity is something, a knowledge and wisdom. That was after I'd sat on the seat of knowledge and wisdom. There I was going to be shown eternity. So Jesus took me to the house where the tithe blessings are poured out. Here is a row of windows, tremendous windows, from one end to the other. I want to explain this fully. All these tables there, miles of them, full of blessings. Great blessing. Now, can you see a blessing? Oh, sure you can see a blessing. And God explained to me what a blessing was. Before we show you what eternity is, he said the blessing was for such as if a man had given a sacrifice offering. But during that sacrifice offering, he wanted a new house for his family. What a place. He's living in an old shack, practically. Just an old shack where he was working, but not the proper facilities for his home, for his house. They used to preach poverty and say, well, you're supposed to live there. That's the most foolish thing that could ever be told a person. Just live in poverty and you'll make it someday into heaven. Now, God told me to say, that's the most foolish thing that a person could be told. You must stay in poverty in order to get into heaven. God wants us to be in health and prosper. Jesus is telling me heaven. Teach them how to prosper. So when you make a sacrifice into the stronghold of God, into the treasury of God, you may want that new house, and you pray. And first thing you know, in no time, it's been accomplished to you, and you have the new house. Those new houses are setting up on the blessing. The spiritual form of houses are right up there on the sacrifice offering. Healing is on there. Everything's on there. The healing offering, the sacrifice offering, the prosperity offering, the heave offering, all there, rows of these great windows there, ready to bless you from God because of your giving, because of more blessed to give than to receive. But the main purpose that Jesus took me to this place was to see eternity. As we stood at this great window, every one of us looking, my mother was present, Mother Mary, Abraham, all of the patriarchs, Wigglesworth, Soul, all the souls of these men that had gone over to see what eternity was. Where will you spend eternity? In heaven, I was told and explained and saw eternity. I saw eternity. So Jesus said to me, singled me out, Percy, you prayed for almost 7 years to see God's glory, my Father's glory. That's where you're taking these tours all over heaven, to see God's glory. And we're there to see God's glory. For one purpose, for I prayed their prayer, oh God, let me see thy glory. And here I was going to be shown eternity and the glory of God. I stood there at this window with Jesus alongside of me, and Jesus said, bow your head. I did. I'm talking about my soul head. He placed his two hands, fingers on my soul eyes. Place them on. And then just place them on, and then he said, look. And I opened my eyes and looked out of the window, and I saw eternity. He said, this is where my Father, he didn't say I, this is where my Father and me came from eternity. He pointed out there. There was an endless road, an endless tunnel. It was an endless tunnel, big tunnel, endless tunnel. And my eyes was looking out into that great tunnel into eternity. Endless, my friends, it was endless. And on each side of that great tunnel was worlds, planets, one after the other, as far as you could see, planets. And then the angels of these planets would come out and show themselves to me of the life on these planets back in there so far that it was just endless tunnel. And there, the longer I looked, the farther it got, and the greater it got, the great expansion of eternity. It was not dark out there. It was light, because God had lit up that part of the world, not by the sun, not by the moon, but by His presence as He had been there, way back into eternity. Looking into eternity, I could see the glorious things that God had done. The spectacular, the real spectacular. Here's heaven, I didn't have heaven, but yet, all the way out there where God had passed through, coming out of eternity, He'd caused creation. He'd caused living things to happen. He'd caused life. Everywhere He went, life is with God. Life is with God. God is life. God has power over life. God has power over death. And God has power over the living. And here was the living God. We talk about a living God. A living God in heaven. I was being explained what a living God was. A living God was God forever. God did always help. The most wonderful part, Jesus was always with Him. He always had a son. He had His own son. A begotten son. His son was begotten through the Spirit of God. With Jesus, His son came. Isn't that wonderful for a father to have a son? God having a son. So that God then must be a loving God to have a son. We all have sons, many of us, and we love our sons. And God loved His son. But He gave His one and only begotten son, the one, only one, and to come down to this world that He might be crucified upon the cross to give you life and life eternity. But still looking back to heaven, and Jesus said, you're looking out now millions of miles and trillions of miles. It's 2 trillion miles from this earth to the heaven, and I'm inside of heaven looking out into eternity. And He said, you're looking out trillions of miles. Can you try to imagine with your own earthly mind how far it is to eternity, how far it is in there, how far less life will come? The human mind can hardly comprehend such a great, great, great big expansion of thinking. An expansion of thinking back eternity. We're looking out in there on the most beautiful planets. Not void or without form, but beautiful, colorful planets in there where God came from. Then God came out of eternity to create, and this planet was void and without form, where we're living on now. And God took over this planet. Now just think of the power of God. He took it over, and in 6 days, He completely rebuilt it. 6 days. Now if you read your scripture, before the sun was made, before the moon fell, God said, let there be light before that. And it was light before even the moon was put in place, or the sun put in place. Let that be light, and there was light. So God is light. Now back in that interior, it was all light, lit up. I remember one time walking on Broadway, and I thought that was special, see all the lights of Broadway, the great lights lighting up Broadway, spectacular lights. In those days, the lights used to be all not neon lights, but used to be little bulbs, thousands of little bulbs, just lit up. There was no need, before the days of the neon light, I walked on Broadway. And I saw the lights of Broadway. I thought, this is spectacular. But when I looked out of eternity, I saw billions and billions of lights lighting up eternity, lighting it up. Thomas Eddon told me, I said, where did you get, Thomas, the idea to get the light? He said, from God, so he couldn't have been an atheist. In East Orange, New Jersey, when I spoke to him, I said, where did you learn to make the light? And he turned around, he looked up, and he said, from God. So therefore, God is light. God is truth. There's no light upon this earth but what comes from God. When He rubbed those two and caused that friction, caused it to burn, caused the light to bulb, God is behind the light, because there's no light without God. And a lot of people love darkness more than light because God. But inside of heaven, here I am looking into eternity where God and Jesus came from. How could I ever be the same? No way could I ever be the same. There was a woman in Kansas not too long ago. She'd read some of the she'd heard some of the tapes. She was kind of a skeptic. But after she'd heard me speak, she come up and said, I fully believe you have been to heaven. What a change. Friends, to go to heaven is a great privilege. You can go. Now, I'm not talking about my body going, but my soul went and stayed in heaven 5.5 days with Jesus, with our Savior. 5.5 days in heaven with Jesus. Now, it's no special thing that I should go. All you have to do is pray and meet the conditions. I met them, or I wouldn't have went. And here was Elijah went, and all of those went to heaven. I thought, Jesus, why can't I go too? And I did. Back into heaven, walking around heaven. Now, as we walked beside these great windows, we walked along. Now, I'm talking about not just a few feet, but several miles walking along. And here was these blessings. Here was all these blessings on these tremendous tables. Blessings. Here was, it's blessed to get healed of cancer. That's a great blessing. When you've got cancer and you get healed of it, I'm telling you that's a blessing. And they pray and say, oh, God, rebuke this cancer. And the devil's the author of cancer, not God. But the only way you get healed of cancer is to rebuke the devil. And then the blessing takes place of the cancer. And you get a blessing, you get happy, your body's healed. These used to be in the old days of my early ministry, praying for the sick. Used to see them just come to God and get healed. But my ministry today is to carry this message of heaven to the four corners of the earth, to every part, to get the message of heaven into these places. So then, as these windows, we stood alongside of these windows, there was my mother, there was all of us walking along, seeing these great blessings. It was kind of like a country fair, in a way, in a gigantic way. All the things that we brought to the country fair would be all the potatoes and all of these things that grown upon this earth. Here they are, the food for the body. But this was all food for the soul, a gigantic amount for the food of the soul. So the soul was being fed out of the heavenly windows, being fed. We come to one, the gospel. Oh, that was a most wonderful sight. Here was this flying angel came flying through the sky, through the heavenly skies, and stood on the table, this table, the gospel table. There he was, and he said, I am the angel of the everlasting gospel. It's pretty out in words. I am the angel of the everlasting gospel. Now, the gospel is everlasting, but it comes from heaven. The everlasting gospel comes from heaven. Not done by man upon this earth to have some kind of a doctrine of some kind to build up a local church or to build something. That lot of that is plain earthly. That as far as it goes by faith does not reach out from the parts of this earth into the everlasting gospel. But here came this angel flying through the heavens, a beautiful angel, flying through the heavens to this great window and this great table. Jesus said, here's the gospel. With the everlasting, now there's an everlasting gospel to preach. And God told me what the everlasting gospel was. To get saved is one. But the everlasting gospel is the seal of the gospel upon you. Now, we go through the days of some will say we need consecration. Some people say we need a definite second word of grace. And a lot of them will say, well, it all happens at the altar and this. And they got all their own ideas about what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. Of course, it's good news. It's all good news. But the gospel really has a meaning. It really, the word of God, which is forever settled in heaven. The word of God absolutely established and settled in heaven. Now, that word of God can be in your life, but the everlasting gospel was there. I saw the everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel was the seal of the gospel upon you, the seal that you're sealed forever for eternity. And that happens on this fashion. You make a consecration. Now, to make a consecration is not just, we'll say, something what you might say that's done, but you make a consecration. Now, when those who make a consecration to serve God for the rest of their life, like I did during that 7.5 years, the everlasting gospel is brought into your life. Now, some people believe that by faith they're going to get saved some way. But the everlasting gospel is established in your soul and in your heart. Now, that's not eternal security. This is what you call the everlasting gospel, established in you by faith upon the solid rock. And it can be embedded in your heart and your soul in such a way. And we stood at that window where the everlasting gospel was being poured out. So there's those praying upon the earth, O Lord, I want to be solid So I want to be consecrated to you. I want to serve you night and day. There's those people praying upon the earth for that wonderful faith and that feeling. It's a wonderful feeling. I got that feeling, I tell you, when I was praying for those 7 years. I got that feeling of without faith, without earthly faith, but with positive thinking of heaven. I begin to think, my, that's why I came into this reality, how I could not move to the left or the right to believe anything, but other than there's a heaven under that's in my heart and my soul, and I'm definitely going to raise up, I'm definitely going to live forever, and that's the everlasting gospel coming to your heart. So there's the everlasting gospel, and there's those that pray this prayer, oh God, whatever you want to say, consecrate my life, whatever. And here is the everlasting gospel through blessings. Now that's a blessing, this blessing table of the everlasting gospel, the blessing table. So the angel came with the everlasting gospel. And here was those praying on this earth and casting out this everlasting gospel was leaving in a blessing form to this earth and being established in the hearts of men. Oh, what a wonderful sight that was to see that happening as that everlasting gospel. And this angel came through heaven, coming through heaven from around the throne of God and stood on that big table. He was so spectacular and seemed so convincing. He seemed so full of authority. God had gave him, this angel, this power to declare the everlasting gospel. And as I stood there, and then Jesus said, Percy, that's what's happened to you. You have the everlasting gospel in your life so solid. Doesn't it feel good to have the everlasting gospel? Now that's what we want to take to the four corners of the earth. The everlasting gospel through these albums to the four corners of the earth, that the different nations of the world would know about the everlasting gospel of heaven. Something that can't change, something that won't change, something that will stand that way forever. The everlasting gospel. So we went to the next table. And the next table was the blessing of prosperity. If you would have seen that blessing as part of prosperity, here was all the wicked things shown there, what the wicked people have done. All the whoremasters, all there, all the gamblers, all the thieves, all the stealers. There was their lot right there. Showed a vision or actual of all them standing there. It's not a judgment, but it was all what you might say, a picture, like a television picture, so big. And here we could look at them. There was that gambler running that gambling house in New Jersey. Here was Las Vegas come right up before, very plain. All that things were happening. Here was these bankers with all these millions of dollars in interest. I've put money out for usury. Here was Monaco come before us, all the princes and all of those with all of their jewels back for the ages. All was right there. All these jewels, all of these things were right there. Everything right there in front of us. There was the miners. There was the gold miners right there. There was the oil. All the oil wells, you could see them pumping, bringing out oil. And here was these millionaires all receiving this money, and you could see the big cigars being lit up, smoking cigars, sitting at tables, the executives of these companies all there, big, rich companies. But there was wicked people. They was not people who had righteous people. The righteous people can be millionaires and can control themselves and use their money for God. But this was the group of the wicked. The ones that was big oil people, go out and gamble, chase women, all that kind of thing, and never use it to the glory of God. Use it only for their own ideas. And here was all the ones that had caused what they call a payoff. All the payoff. All those were the secret hideaway for their income taxes. All there. All that was cheaters of the system. All there. Wickedness. There was even all of those way back to the Romans. Even all there, it was something to see all that spectacular of all the wicked showing their God. Jesus showed me the wicked of this world. Oh, you talk. And then it showed the madams who had used women to become rich with all their diamonds on them and all. Then it showed me the pimps of New York and different places where they were riding in their cars with their colored glasses and their funny hats and their Cadillacs around to pick up the little girls that they come into the city from the country where they could make prostitutes other, gains by prostitution. It's all there, that wickedness, all there. And then there was the righteous. Oh, it was wonderful. On the other side of the righteous, and Jesus says, Pershing, all that wicked money, all that wicked money over there, God is going to turn that and condemn them. They're not going to know what they're going to do, and he's going to turn it all into the hands of the righteous. We're going to be not millionaires, billionaires, for the sole purpose of to spread these tapes and to spread this gospel to the four corners. There's nothing worse to see a preacher stand up there and say, who would give me $5? Who would give me $10? God, that's a shame in the sight of God. God wants us to be prosperous, not to be beggars. I remember one time there back in the Depression, this preacher had just a Model T, and he was trying to get just a dollar or two to get his gas back home. And this woman reached down her stocking and pulled out a dollar. And that was the days of poverty. We're no longer in the days of poverty, my friends. We're in the days of prosperity. Because God said we should prosper. And he's going to put up the church so powerful. It's going to work. We're going to have in the countries, different countries of the world, representatives of God's righteousness. The righteous, it's God's righteousness. We're establishing a righteous order of real and true righteousness of God. And unless anything's righteous and anything solid with God, it'll fail. So we're establishing a righteousness. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen. Some people have not accomplished this wonderful faith. I have accomplished this faith without fail. This faith, there's going to be no limit to the amount of money that's going to come in to carry this message to the four corners. No money. No limit to it whatsoever. Money is going to come in with the abundance, and you're going to be a part of it. While you listen to these tapes, if you want to really do something, just take your good money and say, I'm going to make a sacrifice to the spreading of these tapes, these albums, the four corners of the earth. It'll be on the front, of your album, address and everything. And you just make, because then came the beautiful, I saw the money being transferred. It was miraculous to see $3 million at one time being transferred. This man was a wicked man, but he was accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ, accepting the gospel on this earth. And then he took his money and took it out of the bank and put it over into the hands of us, of the righteous, that we might carry this message to the forefront. We're obtaining this faith by faith that we can do it. And we're going to do it in God's name. And there was that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful transfer. I saw the actual transfer of the money of the wicked being transferred into the hands of the righteous. And so God's going to use that money to carry this message to the four corners of the earth. And when it happens, things are going to move. We are going to control satellite. We are going to control the finances of the world, hear me, and you're going to be a part of it. If you want to get on the prosperity side, and you want to get on the side of faith, and you want to get on the side of things that are really happening, if you want to see the mountain move, if you want to see the spectacular take place, get in on this wonderful work of God to spread this gospel to the four corners of the earth. It'll work. And not only that, it's ordained by God. God is blessing it. God is blessing it in a wonderful way. And I know what God's going to do. I have faith in abundance that I know what God is going to do. There's no limit with the God I serve. No limit. He's going to bring it in. We're going to do it for Jesus. And it's going to be spectacular. We're going to do things that God tells us to do. I'm going to make no promises. Just let God do it. And it's going to work so wonderful that we'll be able to go to these countries and be able to establish those people in these different countries. We'll have Italians for Italy, French for France, Russians for Russia, and all that, Arabs for Arab land, and all there to establish. And Japanese for Japanese in Japan, Indonesians for Indonesian, Chinese for Chinese. Carrying this message of heaven to the four corners of the earth in Jesus' name. Father, as you speak into the hearts of these people out there about heaven, speaking to that banker, Lord, speaking to him, speaking to that doctor, Lord, speaking to him, speaking to the ones, Lord, that they might come over to the righteous side in order to be happy. Oh God, let God give them wisdom to run their business. Might turn it over to God and over to Jesus, that we might do the spectacular for God. Do the spectacular for Him. Do the spectacular for Him. Friends, I've got a moving picture company that wants to go down to the jungles to take a picture of the jungles, an Italian company. Of course, I'm going to let them do it. Let God do it. But this is just the earthly testimony of what has happened. Now, this is things that has happened. But you wait for the future, the things that are going to happen. The past has been so. We established, but we're going to go into the future. What's going to happen into the future? And when's going to happen in the future? But we're not going to use that money for ourselves, not for ourselves, to use for ourselves. I don't care about anything. I don't care about anything this earth, just as though I live very humble before God. I want to see it happen. It's going to happen. Going to happen in such a way to spread these albums, Four Corners. Father, we pray, O God, touch their hearts out there this morning. Let that banker write a check, Lord, for this ministry. Let that lady write a check. Let them write it, Lord, and send it to, Lord, to this ministry. Oh God, we pray that you'd move upon them. And tomorrow, I mean in the next tape, we're going to give you the address of where you can send this money to carry this message. We're going to give it to you over it where you listen to it. And we're going to give you the address exactly where you can make the check out to God's Bible Tapes. You can take it off your income tax. We're all set up so you can take it off your income tax. And we don't hand it, put into the bank. The purpose with the treasure and all. Our ministry is growing to such an extent that God is blessing it. The place where we're sitting right now, some of the dignitaries of the world are going to sit here. You'll be surprised who is sitting here with me when we translate these tapes. Dignitaries of the world are coming to this very room and make them. I love you. I love you very much. May God bless you is my prayer in Jesus' name.